The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph, from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In eighth grade, when I attended St. Luke's Episcopal School in San Antonio, I had the most remarkable teacher that I have ever had. His name was Mr. Hemwich. He was my homeroom teacher, and he taught our small class of eighth graders English and Latin, as well as mythology, philosophy, poetry, and more. For those of you who are Harry Potter fans, he was like a real-life Albus Dumbledore, whimsical and mysterious, and as full of wisdom and life lessons as he was obscure knowledge of ancient languages. Mr. Hemwich taught me how to think for myself, how to write, and how to approach the world with curiosity and imagination. He was deeply dedicated to his role as a teacher. He offered small group and one-on-one teaching early in the mornings before school started, as well as after school in the afternoons. And even on Saturdays, you would find a small group of students, myself included, hanging out in his classroom, learning new Latin declensions or discussing Shakespeare. His passion for learning was contagious, and he instilled in me and many of my classmates a lifelong love of language. Being a rather unusual person, Mr. Hemwich had plenty of quirks. One such quirk has stuck with me through the years. Anytime someone called his name, he would reply without fail, "Here I am." All day long, students and teachers would say, "Mr. Hemwich," and he would reply, "Here I am," as in, "Mr. Hemwich, here I am. Can I go to the restroom?" It was a little strange at first, but we soon got used to it. One day, I asked him why he always responded in this way. Now, here's some background information on Mr. Hemwich. He wasn't a particularly religious person. He had been raised in a Jewish family, and as an avid reader of scripture, he knew this, or as an avid reader, he knew the scripture as well. And he could quote the Psalms better than I can. But he remained what could best be described as an agnostic. So I was surprised when he told me that the reason he always responded, "Here I am," was rooted in the Hebrew scriptures. Mr. Hemwich told me that in the Bible, whenever God called someone to an important task, they always replied, "Here I am." And so he responded to every call with, "Here I am," he said, just in case it was God who was calling his name. Mr. Himwich lived his life in a daily, moment-by-moment readiness to respond to the call of God. He was always listening for God's voice, and I believe that it was this attentiveness that made him such an amazing teacher and man. In the Old Testament lesson we heard today, Samuel, who at this time is still a young boy, does not recognize the call of God. When he hears a voice calling his name, "Samuel, Samuel," he runs to Eli, his mentor, and says, "Here I am," mistakenly assuming that it was Eli who had called his name. This happens 3 times. Finally, Eli, who is an old prophet and thus has spent his whole life learning how to hear the voice of God, realizes what is happening. He instructs young Samuel, who will soon become a prophet in his own right, in what to do when he hears the voice of God. He says, "If God calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" Samuel does just that. He waits and listens for God's call, and when he hears it, he says, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." This is where our lesson ends in today's lectionary, but the story goes on. God speaks to Samuel and gives him a difficult task to do. Samuel listens and obeys, and a few verses later we are told that Samuel grew up, and all of Israel knew that he was a trustworthy prophet of the Lord. So here's my question for us today. How can we learn to listen for the voice of God like Samuel? How can we be habitually ready to answer God's call like Mr. Himwich? And what might God be calling you to do? Because make no mistake, God is calling you to something. Each one of us is called to serve God in our own unique ways. The word vocation means calling. It comes from the Latin word vocare, to call. Every Christian has a vocation, a calling to use his or her particular talents and resources to serve God and love their neighbor. For some reason, the idea of a vocation or a calling is often used to describe people who are called to ordained ministry, the clergy. People frequently ask me when I got the call. But connecting the idea of vocation with ordination is misleading. Ordained ministry is only one of thousands of ways that followers of Jesus are called to serve God. In the back of the Book of Common Prayer, which is sort of our guidebook in the Episcopal Church, there is the Catechism. The Catechism is a short summary of what we believe as Christians, presented in question and answer format. One question in our Catechism asks, "Who are the ministers of the church?" It answers, "The ministers of the church are laypersons first, then bishops, priests, and deacons." The principal ministers of the church are not priests or even bishops, but the laity. That is to say, you. The next question in the Catechism asks, "What is the ministry of the laity?" It answers, "The ministry of laypersons is to represent Christ and his church, to bear witness to him wherever they may be, and according to the gifts given them, to carry on Christ's work of reconciliation in the world, and to take their place in the life, worship, and governance of the church. So you may not hear an audible voice like Samuel and many of the prophets did, but God is calling your name nonetheless. You are called to put your gifts, your talents, your passions to work for the church and for the kingdom of God. There are so many different ways you can do this. My teacher, Mr. Hemwich, lives out his vocation by inspiring young people with a passion for learning. But vocation is not just about what you do for your job. We also live out our vocation in volunteer work. For example, our own Mark Williams, who's up in the choir, in his retirement, he has found a new vocation. He spends nearly every Saturday working with Habitat for Humanity to wire these new houses with electricity. Perhaps you also are called to use your skills and resources to help those in need in our community. Vocation is also found in our relationships with one another, in our roles as friends, mothers, fathers, husbands, wives, godparents. And of course, an important aspect of living out your vocation as a Christian is serving your church. One of your responsibilities as a disciple of Christ is to share your time and talents with the church, whether that means working with our children, or serving as an usher, or helping to maintain our buildings and grounds. I am absolutely thrilled to have been called to serve as your rector here at St. Andrew's. But it's important that we remember that my job is to support and empower you to do the work of ministry in the world. Today, in just a few minutes, London Gonzalez will accept God's call for her life as she chooses to give her life to God in baptism. And the rest of us will be reminded of that call as we renew our own baptismal vows. God is calling us, you and me. There is no question of that. What makes the difference between an ordinary life and an extraordinary life is our ability to remain open to hearing God's call day by day. That constant readiness to respond to God's call is what made Mr. Hemwich the single most remarkable teacher of my life. All we need to do is listen for God's voice and be ready to say with courage and faith, "Here I am." Amen.